that there is no mistake on the part of the defendants or the plaintiff that the city engaged in a pattern of deception that lasted years. And because of that, the Kenyans' damages are not just limited to losing the property. Kenyans' damages spanned a number of years. I didn't talk to the jury. I don't talk to jurors about why they decided certain things. I leave that for the attorneys to do because I don't think it's proper for a judge to ask jurors why they decided an issue in a certain way. The attorneys sometimes come and tell me later after they've spoken with the jurors, but I don't seek that information. I am supposed to be a referee. I'm supposed to do the very best I can to give the jury the proper law and make sure that they get evidence which is appropriate, and then they have to do their job. And I try very hard not to interfere with that. So I don't know everything that they considered when they made their award. I can only surmise, based on how I felt listening to the evidence during the course of the trial, that the juror was upset with the actions of the city. A government entity owes a duty of honesty and transparency to those people to whom they deal with. It doesn't matter who those people are. It doesn't matter whether they like those people or they don't like those people. Governments are in unique positions. There is a Public Disclosure Act. There are all kinds of cases in this state which uniformly say that governments have to be open, honest, and straightforward in their dealings with everybody. Because that's their job. They're supposed to represent us. It doesn't matter whether it's the city of Tukwila or the city of SeaTac or the county of King or the state of Washington. They represent us. And because of that, they have a duty of honesty and transparency. The city violated that duty so many times I've lost count. And it's amazing. Quite frankly, the actions of the city of SeaTac in this case are unexplainable and totally unacceptable. The period of deception even lasted through their answer in the public records, for their public records, the disclosure. And so the plaintiff had to go about getting those records and had to spend more time and effort and money to get those records than they ever should have had to. Why? Well, the city obviously had something to hide. So I find, as someone who works for the government, I find this to be the worst thing about this case is the actions of the city and how dishonest they were. And I find that to be completely and totally unacceptable. I don't know how the jury felt about it, but I can only suspect that that was probably one of the reasons why they awarded the damages they did. Because they felt the same way I do. So I've tried to be really fair and reasonable when I've made the award of attorney's fees. I believe that a lodestar figure of 65% on a figure of 1.9, which is scrubbed before, and it ends up with what, about 1.3, something like that, 1.2, roughly. That an interest rate, I believe that the case law requires the imposition of interest. This is a constitutional taking, after all, and I believe that 12% is what's required. It wouldn't be what I would have chosen, but that's what the legislature has chosen. I would have chosen something around 2 or 3%, because I think that's probably the real amount of money that was going on in 2009 and 2010. But the legislature didn't feel that way, and we do have to follow the law, and the law says 12%. I believe picking a date of December 30th, 2009, as I indicated, is conservative. Could have gone back earlier, but I think that is a date that everyone can agree that Mr. Kingan lost the property on that day. Seems to be an easy day to pick for purposes of calculating interest. The last thing I would say, and I'll say this to the city of SeaTac. This isn't part of the findings, and I don't want it to be part of the findings. I think the city of SeaTac was very, very ably represented during the course of their trial by Mr. Tierney and Mr. Taylor. I believe that it's hard to make a silk's purse out of a sow's ear. And gentlemen, you performed incredibly admirably, and you were very worthy advocates. And regardless of what you think of me, that's what I think of you. And I don't mind telling anybody that. But there is certainly some evidence to suggest that during the course of the negotiations with K&S, the city attorney's office participated in this profound and unacceptable pattern of deception. That violates the rules of professional conduct. That is totally and completely unacceptable to this court, and it should be to any court. Lawyers have rules that they have to abide by, and the very first rule of being a lawyer is to be honest. To not allow the client to dictate dishonesty. That was not complied with in this case. I have never filed a complaint against a lawyer, but I would seriously recommend that you take some advantage to do that, counsel, because that can't be allowed to exist. I don't think Ms. Bartolo, there's no evidence to indicate she had anything to do with this, but there certainly is evidence to indicate that another assistant city attorney did. Talk to Mr. Murphy. His testimony rings quite profound to me. But he had never had anybody make representations to him like that. Poor Mr. Murphy, who's now suffering the effects of a stroke. But nevertheless, he mustered the energy to get up and testify, but he had never had a city act like that. And when he asked the assistant of city attorney what was going on, he was purposely misled. That lawyer should be disciplined. We don't do that. Lawyers don't do that. We are held to a higher standard of care.